This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas. And again, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres every 6:30 to 8 p.m. except holidays, live Fridays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. We're going to have a very interesting show here on Guardian Radio tonight. And, you know, we always go to the extent to always have a conversation with people who are making a real difference. And when I got the show, they wanted to find people who were doing similar programs and persons who have a heart for the community, you know, people who care about their community, people who care about the old people, they care about the young kids, they care about the small but very important stuff that many people overlook, and they always put themselves before they put people. They put people before they put themselves, and I like to interview persons like that. And I have a good friend of mine, we schooled together at D.W. Davis. We all now into that community leadership, understanding what it is to be a community leader, what it represents. And to me, it represents finding ways to help improve the community, finding ways to help the less fortunate in the community. It could be from helping someone repair their house, to moving a dialect vehicle, to helping a kid get school bike, or helping a teenage girl find some type of help, you know, for some like modest pecan, you know, just so much modest that happen inside the community. But anyway, we try our best to find help the best way we can, as long as the person wants to be helped, because, you know, in these communities, you have a lot of negative people. They've been hurting for so long and being neglected that when help comes, they sometimes resent it because, you know, it's being like a circle for them. And, you know, it takes a little while to see that you who are community leader are really sincere. And you're not about money. You're not about fame. You're about really, really care about the community. And it takes a little while. And when people figure it out, they see a genuine thing start to roll and roll in your favor. But then tonight, we have Mr. Shaggy Chipman in studios, community leader. But let him introduce himself here tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9. It's my pleasure to have you on, Shaggy.
Mr. Scrooge, Mr. Valentino Scrooge Brown, it's definitely a pleasure to be here, and I am honored to be in your presence. You know what I mean? You are truly a community leader in every sense of the word. And, you know, you could have easily turned your back on your community, but you stood the test of time, the storms, and, you know, you're still there in the battlefield, like myself in my area in Centerville. I do my best, you know what I mean? I had my time again when I created problems in the community, less to say, and now, you know, I use that energy and influence to to better my community, because I see so much great things in my community, and I see, and my community is so historical. There's so many amazing people that's come from my community, and that has inspired me. And people like yourself, you know, inspire me every day, because every day you have an opportunity to do your show. You know, you highlight someone doing something amazing in the community, and that's very important that we, you know, give people their flowers while they're here.
Yes, yes, yes.
So one of the initiatives that we do, my nonprofit is called Car Project. And it's a community-based program where we offer, you know, for people from the community that's coming out of prison. It's called a Second Chance Program, where we, you know, arrange for training for them, technical and vocational training for them, you know, to get, you know, hands-on, to learn a trade. We pair them up with skilled men from the community, electricians, carpenters, you know, straight down the line, and, you know, allow them to learn a trade, you know what I mean? A lot of people are not academically inclined, but, you know, a lot of them, once they learn something that they're good at, they become good at it because they focus on that, and, you know, that put bread and butter on the table. But Core Project is based in the core communities, and what we do is we go out to the major organizations and we, you know, communicate with them, and we allow them to filter
their resources,
where there's a need. And as one of the spokesperson for the disabled community, if it's an issue with disability, then I know where to turn and I know where to focus, because one of the things that I do is I do my due diligence in the community. And if we're doing something that they want seniors, I personally, you know, take everybody door to door. So I give them that experience. If it's something to do with the teens, you know, we get them together. If something to do with the kids, you know, I do my due diligence, you know, hit the neighborhood and hit the hot spots in the neighborhood where the kids are, and, you know, just gather them based on what it is that we want to do or what the organization is all about.
So when you say you go there and you reach out and, you know, you get corporate Bahamas and not necessary funds, they provide the manpower. Are you saying, like, you know, they'd come and give manpower and teach?
Well, not corporate Bahamas. You can say, in a sense, it's still corporate Bahamas, but it's a larger organization. And what they would do normally, you know, I don't like to take bread out of any particular people's mouth, but there's a lot of people that cannot make it to a great commission, that cannot make it to a bishop role.
Yes.
You know, they're down in age, they're bedridden, some of them are disabled. So we personalize it
in that
because
area.
Normally what they would want to do is they would just get a bunch of stuff, whether it be gifts, whether it be groceries, whether it be resources, whether it be grocery cards, whatever the situation may be, and they drop it to one place. But what I offer in Core Project is that we personalize it, and we personally go and meet the individuals that need it, that cannot go out.
Yeah, you're making me laugh, man. You see, we on par, because it happens in the community that I reside in with Nena Han and Pastor Ferguson from his organization in Grandstand. See, what people don't understand is that you figure out what the problem was in the community. You know that many people are disabled or they just don't have the strength. Their health is not really, you know, fully...
No, they're not fully, you know, fully functional.
And mobile.
You know, mobile and down in age and all these things come into play.
So you give out a helping hand as to strategize and say, you know what, we're going to be able to go and care gift certificate or care some grocery tour to them. That's the church. That's actually the church.
Yeah,
that's actually the church.
So that's
the church supposed
to be
doing.
Yeah, that's ministry.
That's ministry.
That's ministry.
You know, and there you see a lot of problems. You know,
you get to build a personal relationship with the individuals, and when they see you, it's like
you're doing a great job, man.
Thank you very much.
You're doing a wonderful job.
And one of the best feelings in the world is to see a senior, 96-something-year-old that recognizes you and. You know what I mean? Even though you come bearing gifts, they recognize you, they want to communicate, they want to talk, and, you know, just to see them smile, having something to offer, you know, so it is the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I do it from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
I don't collect a salary from that.
You come from the product, you know. It's a saying that persons who are chosen, you know, are the ones who, well, the ones who are dying and in the city communities, you know, come from a poor family or struggling or come from a background of what they're learning in the community. if they had a hard life, you know, like you stated literally on the show about your past and how you was able to use that to be able to do good now and making that change around, you understand what the problem is. And then because you understand, you in your heart, you know that, hey, I got to be able to make a difference and I got to be able to make some connections so that I could be able to help the less fortunate in the inner city community.
Yeah, my thing is, one of the things is, you know, we live in a society that does not give second chances. You know what I mean? They will send you down a one-way path to destruction for, you know, a marijuana cigarette. And because you cannot find work, the cycle continues. And they put you right in that cycle and you continue to go on and go on. And it's just a bunch of small things. You know, we have to learn to allow people to evolve, to grow, to expand. You know, you and I both, you know, were senior men in our respective neighborhoods, and you know, we found a way out and we found a way to achieve the ultimate way of spreading the word and getting the word out to the masses. You know, that this is what we do, this is who we are, you know what I mean? Don't look at me or judge me from where I was. See me as a man now and where I'm headed.
How could people want to judge persons like us, man? If you read the great book, there are many persons like us in the great book. You know, no one is perfect in this life, you know, and everyone has made mistakes. There's no one perfect. And for us, you know, some of us hide what we do, you know, and then we will point the fingers at others. But we have all sinned, you know. There are sins greater than other sins, you know. We could explore those, but when it comes to, say, making a turn around, what people don't understand is persons like ourselves who was dishonest, who was breaking the law, as we get older and wiser, our personality change. You know, we become more pure of heart and try to not to make less mistakes. And our heart is pure to really make a difference, to really make, how would you say?
Good contribution back to society
without being corrupted and have integrity in what we are doing.
Yes.
You know, and we don't believe we're better than nobody. That's my cousin, Keegan Kevy. Just ask if that's you. Yeah, Keegan Kevy. Yeah, that's our Shag.
Blessings to my... to my brothers from another mother, you know. It's definitely a pleasure. Thank you all for reaching out.
Yeah, you know, and I wanted to highlight you, Shai, because, you know, you're in that area and there are a lot of churches. You know, you're not a Christian, but you're a believer and you're doing, like they say, on the highways and byways. And you're doing something that is very important for that part of the community because of each and every one of us was to play an important role, just like in our house. You know, if all of us was to clean up our front of our yard, the whole corner would be clean, right? If everyone's just grab a rake in the morning. Let's say 20 people live on the street, 20 houses, right? And if everyone's just grab a plastic bag and rake, and they come out every day, there would not be a trash on the road, right?
The streets would be absolutely clean.
So you provide a bright spot, you know, where there's darkness. And people must understand the importance of a person like you. So I want to encourage those who are listening to the show, you know, you can make the same contribution in your community, you know. If you live in these particular communities and you want to make things better, you know, this is how you become a community leader. Understanding and seeing the hurt, the pain in your community.
The struggles.
And the struggles. And use this as a way to say, you know what, hey, let's make a difference.
Yeah, let that be a way to fuel you and to fuel... you know, what it is that you want to do, because the community always is for me, in my community, I live in the inner city, and what I do, there's always a need for it. There's always someone that needs a plate of food. There's always someone that needs a hand. There's always someone that needs your network, you know what I mean, to get a job, to put food on their table, to feed their families, to pay bills, you know, and mm-hmm. and to understand that, you know, it's the ultimate.
And our job is tough because we have so much to deal with in the community, and we must thank all the persons that assist us in these daring challenges, days, and these individuals. You're dealing with all type of different walks of people with different attitude, you know, and people always pointing the finger, and they are suspicious.
Well, one of the things that I get, you know, when I get so close to my community is people become entitled.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you have to be careful of that. You know, you
ain't entitled to nothing.
You know, that's my point.
You ain't entitled to nothing.
You have to do what you can because people will drain your resources.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You are there to assist and help and do what
they
you can.
They want to be entitled.
But people feel entitled. And if you can't help them today, they're upset with you, you know. But you know what? That's the fuel that drives me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can't. Some days I am so frustrated and discouraged in things that I do. But you know what? At the end of it all, I said, Father, you know what I mean? You said that there'll be days like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the term you use. Mama always said there'll be days like this. But you know what? That's the fuel that drives me.
Wow. I also want to talk to you about your community activism because you're active in the community. You know, there was a Facebook post and you was traveling through your community and I think you got in contact with a young lady who saw a next young lady who was in dire need of medical health. And if you look at these communities, there's places like Shaggy, Iran, or the other concerned lady who saw a friend and she couldn't believe it because she said, you know, someone told her friend, you know, was on the porch. And, you know, it broke my heart, you know, because this happens so much in our community, you know? And that's why us who has a little bit of strength in the community, it just can't just be about us. We have to be able to help somebody, you know, help somebody because that young lady, you know, when the interview was going on and she said that she got a call from somebody that her friend, you know, was sleeping on the porch and I think she had a daughter or something.
She had two kids.
Two kids, right? And this is a concerning citizen. See, that's why I say a village, you know, community leaders.
And that's one of the main things that I focused on, you know, the village mentality. And I said, you know, I said to the news reporter and I was like, listen, madam, you know, this is something that we have to do. We have to go back to the village mentality, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of other people that need help, you know what I mean? Tons of other people called after that. But that situation was a dire situation that needed to be dealt with right there and then. You know,
I know it's private, but could you give us a little bit of details, you know, because people don't understand what it is to be a community leader. See, these are the kind of challenges, right? And these are ways that God puts you in a position to help. Because when you take this mantle up, right, you don't know what is going to come to you. So much things come to me from all around. Thank the Father for me being wise enough to say, you know what, I see what's going to come to me. So I better find ways and I could get some organizations around me to be able to assist. So I got Lennon, I got Pastor Utero, we got Mr. Ferguson, Bishop Ferguson, with Big Harvest Community Center, and a few of the churches around in the community assisting the resident in the community to take the pressure off me so I'm able to help people through these various different organizations.
And you're able to spread your wings further.
Other than that, we would have been finished, me and you would have been finished if you don't have the assistance from these organizations.
Indeed, indeed. And that's the key.
So tell us a little bit about the situation.
Well, the situation was another community leader, Crystal Kitty Johnson.
She looked familiar.
She resides in the Yonge Street area.
I think I know her.
Yeah, she's
awesome lady.
A Facebook
awesome
presence.
Lady.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I like.
So she's a very loving and caring and giving person.
I like that. I like the expression how she spoke, you know.
So they called her and she called me so that we could work together on getting as much help. You know, we reached out to the MP and he showed up immediately and you know, we were able to
use MP?
The MP, Jumbo Campbell.
Jumbo Campbell.
Yeah, and he was able to send his driver. And normally, that doesn't happen. But because
he sent his personal driver?
He sent his personal driver,
wow.
His personal
awesome.
Car.
Awesome. Good work.
He was in the house. So,
good work. Good work, Mr. Campbell.
He needed to do something, and it needed to be done. It was something that needed to be done. It wasn't like, I can call me back in an hour. No.
No, it had.
Had we
It was
wait,
an emergency.
It was an emergency. Had we waited enough.
Talking to Mike, please.
Had we wait another 4 or 5 days, we made the ambulance or the hearse may have been taken off that porch because she was in such bad condition and the kids were like right there. You know what I mean? And another thing is the little boy, you know, he needs a lot more help than the little girl. The girl was out of school from September, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Crystal was able to reach
age?
Out to,
you could, if you don't mind, tell us the age, if you don't mind.
No, the age of the little girl is 8.
Eight.
And the little boy is 3 years old.
And they're outside on the porch?
And they were staying outside with their mom.
On the porch?
On the porch with just a blanket covering them from the streets.
Jesus, Lord.
You know, so it was a very serious situation, and we needed to deal with it. They weren't eating. They weren't, you know, they had no help. And
the mom was incapable of moving around.
As a matter of fact, she turned blind 4 months ago.
So who was watching the kids?
That's a whole... She has an older brother. She has a little brother, but...
He's doing his best, but he can't.
He's only about... He's maybe in grade 10 or so, so there's so much that he can do.
Hold on, Shaggy. You see? For those out there who, without any objection to what I be discussing on the show when it comes to crime, when it comes to poverty, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to the hospital, and when it comes to the inner city, I talk about these same problems we face. And we have hundreds of people, probably thousands of people right now in this country right now, in this type of position that this young lady with these young children living in the Bahamas, which is one of the richest countries in the world. And we have people in this country so distracted in their personal life and don't understand that we are three. And we might not know that female or that kid, but there's going to be a judgment for all of us, you know, who turn a blind eye to these things. So that's why I come on the show. And that's why I bring persons like Shaggy, because I want the world to hear what's going on with our citizens in this country. And we must find ways on how we can empower these communities so that persons like Shaggy Chipman, who and families of murdered victim Candia, and many, Miss Nan down in our Bantan, and persons who, like that lady who you call, who contacted you.
Yeah, Crystal, Kitty Johnson, you know?
Yeah, Miss Johnson.
Know, they play a pivotal role in allowing, again, you know, there's a saying back in the day, only the sun covers the Bahamas. So there's no one organization that can cover the whole Bahamas.
No, no.
Together, we can achieve the ultimate goal by reaching more people, hitting those corners that you cannot see. That you don't even know that exists.
Yes.
You went through using the community leaders and using their knowledge. This allows you to see further and
this
go
is,
further.
And this is a plus.
And it's a plus.
And this is why local government is so important. But check this out. It worked. You just proved it worked. You said that Miss Kitty Johnson, right, contacted you.
Mm-hmm.
And you in turn contacted, y'all together contacted the minister. The minister sent his personal ride, Mr. Campbell, thumbs up.
So it was using the network.
So you see, that's a network.
To achieve.
That is just like local government. No difference. And that's why I push for those stuff, and Neil Burrows and et cetera and et cetera.
And you know what? For me, you're one of the wisest people that to use your wisdom and your knowledge to share. And people don't understand, you know what I mean? And when you speak, a lot of them wouldn't understand because you speak from experience. People just know, okay, Bainer Grandstown, Centerville, Angleston, oh, these are crime veneers. I don't even drive to them. I stay on the main road. During the pandemic, I worked along with a nonprofit agency called the Alliance Group, not the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they would give me maybe 40, 50 boxes of grocery, you know, every week. And I would choose the seniors every week, different seniors.
You brought some to me and all, you forget it.
Oh, yes.
And the lady.
Okay, yes.
You remember?
I gave them, and the reason why I bought them to you is because I wanted them to meet community leaders.
Yeah, and you see how quick they go on right there while she's there. Stay the last second.
Exactly.
You forget it.
Yeah. Now I remember.
They don't come walking, child. Yeah, you last a second.
So my thing is, it's important for us to give people experiences. And what I did that day was I not only wanted to introduce them to community leaders.
You don't want to show them.
I wanted to show them that we could do things in the inner city without having to worry or having fear. And you know what? That experience was etched in their mind.
Yeah. on the shows, but being sincere, because she was parked there.
She was parked there.
And people just came, they say, hey.
Just come.
And the minute you took them out, and they everybody took all one shot.
When they came to your zone, when we came to your zone, you were just calling people, and everybody was coming to you and asking you, what's going on, what's going on? You know why? Because you're like a father figure to the community, to the young men, to the men in there. You're like a brother to the men in there, and you're a father figure to the young men in there.
Because people know your heart. You see, they know you really care about your community, you know? And that's the most important thing, and that brings integrity. Integrity is into play. Yes.
And that's very important.
Yes.
You know, but you know what? People only recognize you when you can be consistent in your community doing things.
Yes.
And one of the most questions, one of the most, I don't want to say unbalanced questions that I am asked is, why do you always have to take pictures or video of what it is that you're doing? It's very important for a real community leader to document what
he does. Of course, it keeps you going.
It not only keeps you going.
And you remember some stuff.
It not only keeps you going, when you present that, that's that's a part of your portfolio.
Of course.
A photographer takes pictures and he presents his portfolio. He don't just go and say, I'm one of the best photographers. He shows his work. And yeah, for example, I went to Grey Cliff during the pandemic, and they were giving out, you know, Grey Cliff pastas and everything. And I was like, listen, man, I got some seniors I'd like to personally deliver. They can't come here. I'd like to personally deliver some food to them, you know. And the gentleman was like, oh, well, we're doing that already. So I didn't give up. I left there. I went and I got my pictures and stuff that I like. I went to Boss and I got them printed out, and I took that back to him and I said, listen, I tell you this is what I do, this is what I do. He's like, oh, okay, how much you need? I said, I need 200. So I got four cars and we filled them up and we hit, take 100 in Bain and Grandstand, we take 100 in Centerville, and then the next week, he said, Chippy, what you need? I said, I need 400. And you have to have what we call visual smarts. People need to know you as a community. Now, the average person, they do it, you know, because in hopes that, one of the things that do it is in hopes that it catches on. Somebody, you know what? I feel like doing something good today.
That's what it's about.
And that's what it is about.
That's what it's about.
You know? That's the purpose behind what we do. Everything we do, we must document, because we need that as a portfolio.
Yeah, because I saw some, I was going through my phone and I sent some people some footage from way back. When I look, I said, well, I couldn't even remember I do that.
See, that's the thing. When you go back in your archives,
it brings back
the memory. But you know what? It's hard for you to remember that simply because you're doing 1,000 things in your community,
yeah,
Scrooge.
I do so much stuff I can't remember, honestly. You know? So, yes, that was good.
You have to, not only that, you know, you have to look at, one of the things that I like doing is I like giving thanks to people that really assist. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to Minister Pia Roll. She was very instrumental in getting 50 disabled people.
Pia Roll. She's the Minister of
Public Service.
Public Service.
Minister of State for Public Service.
She's my classmate too. See how walking them.
Yes.
I just want to go see her. I want to congratulate her.
Yes. Listen to me. She's doing.
Me, it was tight and see how walker. She was the model and see how walker.
She was always been that same individual, and she knows exactly what she's doing, and she's making public service like she's refreshing it, restarting it, rebooting it, and revolutionizing it.
That's Mr. Harper Newbold.
You know?
Mr. Harper Newbold, I know you might be listening. That's Pia Glover. She was there the same time we was in C.R. Walker. We was the first graduating student of C.R. Walker in 1992 when she was there.
Really?
Yeah. I got transferred in 91 from D.W.D. because of the fight. Okay. I had a big fight in school, so they transferred me.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so Pia was there too. She was when I was there, I think she was in the 10th, 11th grade.
Listen, she's an amazing, amazing minister, man, doing amazing, amazing things.
Go ahead.
And another minister of state I'd like to send a special shout out to, because she's really working, pushing, and, you know, she's spreading her wings to help all of the, our peers, comrades, and colleagues, is Minister Lisa Ramming.
She's doing a phenomenal job. You know, go ahead.
With the, she's doing some work in your neighborhood you could talk about. And she's dealing with these dialect houses.
Yes.
And she's assisting with home repairs, and she's just spreading herself, and she's dealing with urban renewal, building the band. And, you know, this woman is like an octopus. She has her hands in basically everything trying to, you know, do things. And I must say, Scrooge, I'm not here to talk about politics.
No. See, you got to talk about the good stuff. What Mr. Campbell did, you know, it's a plus.
Indeed.
That was
indeed.
Not politics, you
no,
know.
No,
He had a heart to understand the urgency, all right? So that's not politics, you know. It's good to highlight the good. See, listen, you always highlight the good in small things. So there's nothing wrong with that. So go ahead.
So thank you for that. You know what I mean? Thank you for that encouraging word, because I don't ever want to seem like I'm here to talk about politics. What I'm here to do is to say thank you to the people that is, for me, as a community leader.
These are the things you want to see happen.
These are the things I want to see happen.
What you want to be a part of.
And I want to be a part of it.
All right.
And I worked closely with her on that project with
Ms. Rami.
Minister Rule. I'm going to get back to Minister Rami. I worked closely with her on that project, and we were able to get 50 disabled people that, you know, that were in corners that didn't believe that they'd ever work again. Some were blind. She said, Chipman, get me able bodies. You know, I want to really push this.
Wow.
They were blind, they were deaf, they were amputees, they were wheelchair bound.
And you did an awesome job.
They were, you know, stroke recovery victims. So we were trying to, as broad as we could, and, you know, they are now working.
Ms. Lowell?
She was the fearless fighter behind trying to get, you know, that into the doorway.
That's what the show all about. You know, we want to highlight the good. See, these are small, but these are very important things. You know, the blind and the disabled now that they're working now. Well, you give them a second chance at life now, because now they have a purpose, you know.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? Because now they could be able to be mobilized and you know, tend to themselves and feel like living again.
Yes, they feel like they're a part. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's important for us to highlight and do what we have to do, simply because people like Minister Raming, you know, I gonna say Ministress, but Minister Raming and a few others, you know, they are so amazing in what they're doing. They're reaching out to people, they're helping, they're assisting.
You know, see, listen, I brought you on because you live in the inner city community, and you just gave 50 examples, my brother, about finding disabled people in the community. Now they're working with Ms. Glover. So
they're working in public service.
That is inside the inner city.
We have
to highlight the good stuff.
Yes, and it's important, again, special shout out to my MP, you know, Jim O'Campbell. You know, but like I said, I just want to give a good thank you to...
They're working with you, my brother.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, so, you know, and underneath the circumstances, you know, we are keeping Centerville together. Our minister is working, and, you know, he's doing what he has to do. He's helping the country. He's building Centerville one road at a time, helping out, you know, and especially with those old folks that need their home repairs. You know, Minister Lisa Raman, she is so amazing, man. You know what I mean? She's a general in the army. She's fair, but she's firm. You know what I mean?
And that's what urban renewal is designed for. Now, most people don't understand, from its exception, we started Urban Renewal. We gave Mr. Christie the idea, you know, gangsters gave Mr. Christie the idea about that starting a home repair.
Exactly.
But that's what most people don't know. So that's what his purpose was, to give people.
And this woman is awesome, man. I mean, she is, once you get to know her, you realize that she's that amazing. She's ready to help.
Awesome. She's making a priority to actually go.
And she's hands-on. That's very important.
So that means that your eyes and ears, the same thing, the same program you did with Ms. Rule.
Uh-huh.
Where you went
and
you did a survey.
I'm the eyes and ears for her, for the community.
And you got the information.
I got the information.
And then she didn't hesitate to make it happen.
No. And it's, and the same thing goes for
Ms. Ryman, the same thing. So we have, you know something? I mean, Mr. Campbell did a wonderful job, so I'm not going to criticize him. But these females, for some strange reason, some females who get elected, they really put in the work. They really put in the work if they're doing these programs.
The ladies that are, the leading ladies that are in the House of Parliament,
mm-hmm.
they're proving that they deserve to be there. They're proving that, you know, given the opportunity, we can lead like the men.
Yes.
So they're doing an amazing job, man. I just got to give it to them. You know what I mean? Hands up to them. And,
yes.
You know, we just got to continue to work together, build relationships, man. You know what I mean? You can't, we tend to hold on to certain things that, listen, let's just build relationships and make this country great again. That's what I'm all about, man.
Because now you have the connection, right? Because you don't have the finance yourself, you know? But you have the connection. That means when you're doing your survey and then you go to a person who is probably disabled, like you say, blind, and probably their hose is leaking and they don't have no assistance, you are not able to give this information to Minister Rami. And you could say to her, and go to Miss Glover, because she also assisted.
Well, beyond the disabled people, she was able to help me, you know, get some people into work, some able-bodied people.
Able-bodied.
You know what I mean? And I am so grateful for the relationships that I've built with these people.
Well, that's good. That's what the community leader do. Indeed. You know? That's what the community leader do. Mm-hmm. He got to find ways and means to assist the less fortunate, you know. And making connection is key, you know, government, private sector, and then having a personality, you know, that powers anyone, because you can't be biased being a community leader.
No, you know, again, the relationships we build with these people are very important. You know what I mean? And these people, like I said, the three people that I came on here to thank today is Minister Pierrot and Minister Jumo Campbell, and especially, you know, Minister Lisa Rami.
They did an outstanding job.
Because these are the ones that impact what I do, hiring my personal MP, mm-hmm. and then Minister Rami, who deals with urban renewal, and her arms, again, is stretched through the community, the urban renewal centers, the home repairs, the marching band that's becoming very popular.
Yes.
You know, so she's really working, man.
The marching band is really doing an awesome job. I watch them practice every day by the Urban Renewal Center.
Yes. I saw them there now.
Yeah, they're there now before we left.
When I passed a few days ago, I saw the girls.
Yeah. The home repair, Keaton Kevy, they're doing a great job in the community as to find houses that need repair. You know, some people don't have the proper paperwork for their houses. And, you know, so that's a cause. But I think we're going to have to find a way to work around that.
One of the things that they allow you to do, and I'm not here to do the minister's job because nobody can do the job like her. She's a heavy hitter.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, you know, live in what they call family land.
Yeah,
they don't have no papers. So I think the approach would be to get an affidavit and follow up with not only your MP, you know, but the application would tell you so.
Of course, they could have much more. That's one of the main problems now, that why urban rural can't really go and do extended work, because they need to have the proper paperwork, because, you know, there could be problems with.
You know, well, also you have to understand there's a limit to each budget per year.
Yeah.
And this woman is working magic, man. She's in every island doing home repairs. She's
fantastic.
You know what I mean? So everybody has to get a piece of her cake, and she's stretched in. And you know what? During the holidays, she was like to every Christmas.
Yeah, I was watching. They're very active. Those ladies in the Progressive Liberal Party are very active.
Yes, they're definitely very active. So I gotta give them their kudos, man. And again, I gotta say,
they're making
Minister
the man,
Campbell.
They're making the man look bad in the PLP party.
I didn't say that. See, he can say that. But anyhow, listen, gotta be careful. Yeah. I'm a PLP man.
All right. So let's go. Let's piggyback. You know, we kind of gone off on the good stuff, but we had a little part where we got sad. Could you tell us the progress of being made now that you and, what the lady named?
Crystal Kitty Johnson.
Yeah, who I respect her.
Community leader. The progress, what it is this. Again, I'm the one that, if anything comes through me, I filter it to her, because she's like administration. I'm like...
No, that's teamwork.
Exactly. And I'm operations.
Yeah.
So, you know, she is dealing with the little girl on the day-to-day duties. And
she is dealing with the little girl.
Yeah, the little boy lives in Marathon with his dad.
Wow.
You know, so...
He had a bad stretch, though. That's a strong lady, you know.
And... Well. The thing about it is she's blind and she has a brain tumor.
Oh.
So, you know, surgery is required, and these things cost money.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So we had some people called and was trying to assist. So every dollar that we get in, you know, we tried to put together towards her to have
operation.
You know what I mean? Not only the operation, but, you know, the kids have to survive too. Yeah. You know
what I
mean?
That's key, man. That's key. And this is a big problem in our country.
And that's the reason why I said what I said to the news reporter. And I said to her, I said, listen, this is when we have to go back to the village mentality.
It has to be.
You know, it takes a village to raise a child. And nowadays, you know, if the child want to feel any warmth from the village, the child got to burn the whole village down.
On a prime example, it's, what the little girl's name? It's little Bella.
Bella.
When she came out from the house, and the lady crossed the road, saw a few occasions, and finally asked her what the problem was, and then she saw the abuse that was going on with the residents. But the village concept, you know, she could probably be in safe if we had the village concept. See, I tell people we're going to become a concrete jungle. You know, concrete jungle means this. We forget about our island life. We forget about how we as a close-knit community. And we start to just spread out. We start to don't help one another. When someone fall down, we don't want to pick them up no more. We quick to just...
We won't pull out cameras.
Right, and believe...
You know, when we were small, if I got beaten up the road for being mischievous, I stop halfway, because if that word get down to my grammy, when I get home, that was another beating.
Yes.
You understand me? And because as simple as these handheld phones, back in the day were in the home. They were meant to keep families together. Y'all home? Okay, we come in now. Nowadays, these handhelds keep families apart because you had the dinner table and everybody in their phones, you know. Today's kids and today's people are much different from us who grew up back in the days when we didn't have these luxuries.
Wow. So we have to build a concrete jungle, right? But we also have to build a village mentality in order for us to protect ourselves from ourselves, because we've gone away from the village mentality. When I'm saying that, right, we were eating healthy 50, 60 years ago. Cancer didn't exist in the Bahamas. All this high blood pressure and diabetes and all this stuff didn't exist in the country.
And every yard had five or more different trees that naturally benefited you as an individual.
And we went away from that. And then we went away from like how you said, you know, if I did something wrong, I would get discipline from...
One side of the, down the street you get beaten, and you pray to God that don't get up the street to your grammy.
Because they know you did something wrong.
So they're going to beat you again.
If Mr. Chipman put the belt on you.
Miss Bing will put the belt on you when you get home.
So you know what that means? You will never be disrespectful. Why should you live in a community? No. You grow up in morals.
It was completely different. When we grew up, you had respect for everybody.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It was always good morning, good afternoon, and... It was that type of environment, you know. Again, when you walk up the street, every home you pass was looking out for you.
Yes.
Nowadays, as parents are too busy for the children.
Yeah, so that's why we have to have persons like yourself, who have the resources that you go out and gather of your free will, and the Father bless you because you feel its desire to be a bright light. So people can't demand that from you because they don't know what you're doing to try and get these contacts, how you have to talk to people, negotiate with people, you know, be able to have an honest integrity in you that when you deal with them, that make sure that you deal with it transparent, because you don't want no one to ever say, hey, I gave him something and he took it from himself. And you give a prime example how you give away everything that is needed to talk to.
Most cases, what I do, you know, and people say, Shy, you don't have to do that. If you give me money for, just say, a particular individual for a particular situation, I always produce receipts.
There you go, just like me.
You understand me?
Just like me.
And they'd be like, you don't have to do that.
No, you have to do it.
You know what I mean? So what I don't do, if you say I don't have to do it, what I do is I keep the receipts.
Yes.
I no longer show you. Go ahead.
Yes. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Is that me?
Good night.
Good night. Hello.
Good night.
Hello.
Your answer.
Hey, Scooty. you and your gentleman there, you all making serious points, right? I used to live on the farm, the island, actually, Harbor Island. I called you once or twice before.
Yeah,
right?
Moco?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
All right, brother.
Yeah, let me show you why, right? You all making very serious points and some salient points. But what happened in the Bahamas, and I realized this because I've been around 72 and we 51 in April. Progress killed the Indians. You understand what that means?
Go ahead.
When we were first here on this island, Harbor Island.
Yes, sir.
I know if you do is to come out, if you burn your house, they'll come, they'll help you mix concrete, if you lay blocks, all they want some sauce, something to drink, some Johnny cakes, some good conversation. But as the money start coming in, everybody want the sauce, the rum,
and
the
money.
Conversation, and money.
Yeah.
Progress killed the Indians, and nobody checking for the tribal, for the little people.
You see?
They tell me the more they make, the less they look at the poor people.
Yeah.
Because they can pay for what they want now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So when you start making money and you forget where you come from,
yes,
that's where the history is lost.
Yes.
Because I tell you, my mother house I in there now. We used to pour concrete in the road. We used to stop the traffic. We used to mix a whole batch of concrete in the road. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You try to do that, not anything gonna happen. Who you think he is? Blocking up the road. I gotta go to work. Oh, I gotta get my child. Oh, I gotta go to swim meet or tennis tournament.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we kind of backed away from, you know, teachers disciplining kids in the school because of that very same reason that the parents are willing to challenge the teachers. When the teachers had authority to keep the kids in line, that can't happen no more.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. Because most of the parents nowadays was cheering when they are cheering.
You're right, sir.
Right?
That's a drug
and
they
don't want nobody do to them what their parents do to them.
Yeah.
And that's what made them good people.
Mm.
But they lost the focus.
Yeah.
Discipline is the main control of civilization.
Yes.
If you can't discipline people, the courts wasn't there, where we can be?
We'd be finished.
But the police wasn't there, where we can be?
We'd be finished.
They might snap up a couple of people here and there, but then sometimes
they keep order.
The police is us. The cause is us.
Yeah.
So whatever happened, that's us.
Yeah.
If we lose our basic core values,
yeah,
we can lose this country. Like Finland say, if you're gonna fight for it, you can lose it.
Yes, sir.
And they fighting to lose it? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, I never see a society fighting to lose where they have the cost of a couple of them American grand dollars with all of the same in the dock.
And that he's saying, just what he's saying is the truth, you know.
Powerful point.
Yeah, man, you did a wonderful job, man. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Respect,
you call me from Harbor Island, man.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. Enough respect, man. El Moco.
Yeah, bro.
Bryland, sweetie.
Yeah.
But he made some very interesting points, you know. Very interesting points. And he talked about the fact that we lost the village mentality. He talked about the fact that, you know, back in the day, you know, everyone would have come and help you build a house, you know, and you just cook the sauce, you know, they want a little bit of drink, someone want to smoke, and, you know, the wife or the guy, the wife cook, the girl from cook the sauce, and they just there and they help one another build a house, and then nice, and they want all this stuff, and they want the money. And then the people who live in the community would see you doing this, and, you know, you could have blocked up the road, but everyone into themselves. Now, that's why voices like yourself have to be the bright light to bring that identity back of that island life and the island atmosphere we once had with the village concept. Go ahead, sir. No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought someone was on the line. My thing is, at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have a good community regardless, you know, of the few bad apples in the community.
Yes.
And I look at myself as not only a big brother, but as a father figure, because a lot of the homes in the city is, you know, fatherless. And a lot of times what happens is these young boys go up without a father and try to become a man too fast. So they end up in the streets looking for access. Women, guns, drugs.
Because they were not taught nothing.
Approval.
Like the caller said.
Approval from
the streets. And we judge them as men. when they're still a child in a man's body.
Exactly. And then last but not least, acceptance.
Wow.
So access, approval, and acceptance.
We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello?
Hello, good night.
Hey, good night, Scoogee.
How you doing? Everything all right, sir?
Yes, sir. Good night, and good night to your guest.
Okay, go ahead.
Blessings, man.
Yes, guys, everything is okay, but I just want to piggyback on that last call because, say, I was living around those times, man, you know, and that brought back memories because I remember coming in the Carmichael Road area back in the day, you know, that's in the very early 70s, right? Well, it was... When we were building the house, you know, you just buy the materials. Well, Kentucky was the big thing there, because once a bar of Kentucky...
that was a delicacy back in the day. That was a delicacy.
We get done faster.
Yes, boy, they let the Kentucky. That was a delicacy. That's when the voice came out, you see.
Yes, sir.
The talk was, I go in for a barrel, and I go in to get the drinks. And you know what that means. Food and drinks coming.
And that's what... Building's finished. And that's what... I watched my grandfather and my uncle, right? I watched them build my aunt's house with their bare hands. They didn't, you know, every day they come out and they do piece, until the house was completed. Right, and people came, family, friends. There was no pay, and that's why, we so burdened down with a lot of finance. I mean, with bills in this country, because a young man or a young woman want to start their life, they have to go to a mortgage. Right? Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll be listening. Go ahead.
They have to go through the mortgage, right? And everybody know mortgage is 25, 30 years. So when we incorporate that type of stress in the way we living today, it's hard for us to become like we used to be.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because we don't no longer have the time to become the village what we used to be, because we so
busy trying to survive.
Busy trying to survive and trying to pay this bill and trying to pay that bill, and the burden
is too steep.
And the concept of the village is a brilliant one, and it really needs to be looked at.
Yes.
But moving forward, in order for us to get that concept, we have to understand how we can get that concept to become back or
reality.
Again, it only can be because if the Bahamian people, the burden to survive is not that prevalent or so high.
It got to be lifted in order for us to get back to the village standard. You're correct, sir.
Yes, sir. You all have a nice day listening, Kuji, listening.
Yeah, man, you did a wonderful job. The callers, them know exactly what they're talking about, you know. And that's why I'm saying we're going from a concrete jungle. I mean, we're going from a village to a concrete jungle, you know. So I want to read this message from my cousin, I think it's Kevy. He reads here, yes, cuz, but we need to help more poor people with the home repair. Yeah, you know, the inceptions of urban renewal, from what I can remember, when we sit down with Mr. Christie when he was in opposition. And twins them, y'all were there too, y'all little guys. But the guys who were leading at that particular time, you know, like I was one who said, you know, I always had a vision. And Mr. Christie asks, what you think we could do to empower you young guys? And I could always remember sitting at the table of Shag. And many of the young guys, they had their own opinion. They say, well, sir, you know, there's a lot of old run-down houses with a lot of people living in it poor. And most of us who are guys on the street, you know, we are gangsters. And we want to get out of the gang, but we can't go in other neighborhoods. What if we could get some work in the inner city helping repair these homes and clean up the neighborhood as a side job, a side contract? So a lot of guys with the who should get this contract. A lot of y'all should be giving me, something. Because I can always remember when we sit down with Mr. Christie. And this happened while Mr. Christie's office, him and Hubert Ingram, down there, on
Victoria Avenue.
And you know what took me there? Took us there? Her and Bell took us there. One of the former minister from Eleuthera, His son came down.
Michael Bell
came and took us to the meeting when Mr. Christie's offices in Leader. And I made the suggestion. And Mr. Christie said that if he was able and be successful, he would introduce the program, which he did introduce the program. So I'm really grateful. Mr. Christie did, since even Mr. Christie, right, did something great. A few great
indeed,
things.
Indeed. He in his tenure, you know what I mean? He was an amazing leader.
Because he really bought into that, and he helped a lot of people build their houses, you know, and home repair. But it's like it's so much needs to be done in the inner city community for us to get back to the village. So, Miss Lisa Rame?
Minister Lisa Rame. Yeah, you know, that's one of the most important things, but we also have to take into consideration, too, you know, when they do things and they have to deal with, she has the portfolio of the Bahamas, you know what I mean? And
she does. She has a big responsibility.
Our responsibilities are big, and most of the things, you know, the government is working with has to do with funding, and funding.
Every year our budget come out.
This government didn't run up a huge debt like mm-hmm. previous governments. You know what I mean? Our leader, Prime Minister Davis, he's working strategically and making some things happen and placing the country. He's like a chess player. Mm-hmm. You know, he strategizes and placing the country in a position with a long-term plan that this country will thrive in the next 2 to 3 years, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, the country will see the next wave of investment, all of the above, and you know what I mean? We should balance out as a country.
Yeah, well, how you said all that, based on the Minister of Tourism, Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister, and investment we have seen in the billions, that's going to be going into the next election, onto the next election. That means there's so much investment has been done so far under this previous administration now that it's going to last a long time with development of the country. So you're correct. It's billions and billions. There are going to be projects for years and years to come.
So let's keep our fingers crossed that they double that great minister's budget, Minister Lisa Rahman's budget, and we go from there.
Because as much as they're investing, they have a lot of investment in the new hospital, new hotels, and et cetera.
All of they have
the new chicken program where they're trying to...
Golden Yolk,
yeah, which is all good.
Yes.
But we need to see how we can invest more in the inner city community and helping build people's lives back in the country.
Well, if I could answer something on that, you know, I think the groundwork and the framework is being laid down.
That is it. But Lisa Rahman's and
Lisa Rahman's, the Jumo Campbells, the P. Rolls, and you know, so much more. You know what I mean? Because you have so much great MPs. They're doing members of Parliament and ministers doing their amazing thing. You got Zane Lightburn doing his thing in education. You know what I mean? You got Miles DeRuda fixing up NIB. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a few others that are just amazing and doing what they're doing. You got Marcus Roll. Battling with South Beach and making South Beach, you know what I mean? Keeping South Beach the way it's supposed to be together. So, you know, there's so much amazing people.
They're working underground.
You know, you got your MP.
Mr. Watson?
Mr. Watson doing an amazing, amazing job, man. Yeah. And I mean, he's not afraid to face his community, you know what I mean? So
yeah, he's active. We're going to get more active because, you know, there's a lot of programs to be done in the
Indeed. And these are the people to work with because these people have a heart for the people.
Okay, we're going to take this next call, if you can. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, bless up, Scoozy.
Yes, bless up.
Yeah, you know, Scoozy, I was listening to the conversation as far as refurbishing the inner city, right? And you remember, I don't know, do you know if they're still doing one of the things could help, right? Because you're not going to be able to help everybody. You know, I'm at the age where...
Yeah, that's the truth.
I'm caught in a situation. You know, I have a 7-year-old, and I have a 7-month-old, and I have a 24-year-old. That's the only one with finished the little university and working, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, you know, home repairs, like, say, the homestead, the little posy shop in the yard is a homestead. So me and my brother, we just finished arguing today, but who spend the most money? We're throwing in some hurricane vendors, right?
Yeah.
So everyone thinks you get a little bit of money, right? But it's expensive, you know, school.
Wait, building supplies are expensive,
buy them right from here, right?
Expensive.
And they got to do the cement work. What I'm saying is if the government could just, then you could document where you live. If you could bring in the stuff duty-free, it could help you. So we got to do the roof next, right? Because I can't wait on them to do this.
Yeah.
I got to pay medical bills. I up in age, right? Like, you know, I don't have the insurance. I got to, right now, I get some blood tests. It's a little less than a grand. I got to do all these things. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is different from I even cut down on the medication.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is, when you look at all your expenses, right?
Yeah.
All right, take, for instance, through the inflation. My little, the plant-based milk I give my son, that's for $20 a can. So he's used like a can and a half a week or whatever. So I'm looking at just $120 a month just on the baby formula, nothing else. You see what I'm saying? Supplemented with the breast milk. But the thing is what I'm saying, if they could exempt, I mean, if the people that you're trying to assist, I mean, the little other person,
I understand.
To assist,
talk.
Simple things like just bring in certain things duty-free. You could always put a parameter on it. I know if they're thinking everybody. Why we think, oh, the poor man trying to bring in something to sell. So it's always a paradigm to keep us down.
Yeah.
But I called because I was irked because my show called, right?
I can't say if that was Maestro or not.
Someone called earlier. It sounded like he's called regular.
That's someone from Harbor Island.
He's called all the time. I know his voice. Yeah. I was thinking from Maestro, but that ain't Maestro too. But what happened is he's talking about the 70s, and you're talking about the village, right?
Yeah.
But I know about that because, you know, like back in the days when my old man first moved out from Golden Gates, when he built a house out east, you know, you get together with your family, the uncle would come over from the island. He was a mason. We mixed in like 40 cement, 50 sound, whatever sound, you know what I mean? You mix this big batch and you just this in the road, this long, just like back in the days, you know you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You get the wheelbarrow. So, we always, you know, Saturdays was never time to waste.
Mm.
The old man got you unlocked. You understand what I'm saying? So you go up there, you take off the bell course, you help pour the floor, you got your wheelbarrow. So we used to make the joke on who could run on the bread the first. And, you know, like, you know when you got to push the wheelbarrow up, the little planks and things like that?
Yeah.
We used to make joke on who stumbled. Because, you know, after a while, you got to make sure you eat breakfast. You understand? These are the kind of joke, but it's always either I cutting grass on Sunday or I park and go see, or it wasn't no, you see what I'm saying?
You made fun of you or Tom Sawyer. You made fun of the work, you know what I mean?
That was just something we do to say, who run out of bread? The same thing on the construction site, Scoogey. We used to make the joke and tell you can afford to come on the job all high up, smoke you.
Yeah, that's how it was, man.
You can fall off the roof.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right? I know about these things, but sometimes you got to put a little humor in there.
You made the best out of it.
The village has disappeared, and so that's the only way out. Unity, Freddie Bunnings Jr. always is called and say that. He said that during the pandemic. Unity is the only thing that will get us out of this. But
see, the thing about it is, the village has disappeared, and that's the purpose of the community leaders. Now, we hold a bigger role.
But like Scoogey said, we all absorbed into snobbery and self, you know what I mean?
Self-absorption.
Yeah, and I used this and I used that, you know what I mean? Even, you understand? But
yes.
I mean, yes, Scoogey, I don't know if we can get it, but y'all have a celebration. I see, yes, you and the day on the radio saying something going up in the village there by Mason.
Yeah, you know, Nuri Audible, like Badwater.
Yeah, well, he's doing a good thing, though. You know,
I know he's doing a wonderful job, man.
Yeah, bless up, give thanks. Right.
I soon come by your store to get some tables and chairs.
Yes, sir, don't watch the discount for you, you know.
I soon come.
I do some free for you, you know.
Yeah, come on, I still come.
I prepare them and sell them to you, you know, Scoogey.
Hold the table and chairs for me. I probably need to
sell
them,
man. Bless up.
Yeah, okay then.
Yeah,
soon come here. Probably next month I come here, yo.
Yeah, man, bless up. I'll eat away, yes.
All right. Okay, bless up. Yeah, man, Shaggy, man. This is a show that really captivates the beam, and this is what we're talking about, what's happening. You know, we talked about a young lady. She's blind. She has two kids on the porch, 1, 8, and how old?
And the other one is 3.
One is 3, and they were one up, so...
They were sleeping on the porch with her, and she, you know, kept her from the elements. She just had 2 blankets, you know, covering her from the streets so nobody could see her. Then, you know, what made it even worse is that she was blind.
So the witch concept is still alive because you were there, and that lady.
Kristalina Kitty.
Kristalina Kitty, you're jammed to the bombers, okay? You know, because you save someone's life, you save those 2 kids' life from suffering, because you can imagine 2 kids, you know, seeing their mother in pain. And she still loved him. She's blind, and she man.
Listen, like a great mentor of mine always saying, he sends this emoji all the time. We in this together.
And watch this. Who cares if that was a Haitian national or a Chinese national or a European national on the porch? Anyone who has a heart would have been concerned about that person and those children. So. Take all this racism and selfishness that we have. Because if you saw something like that, whether she was a Jamaican or a European or a Chinese,
you still want
your heart.
You still have a heart.
You still have a heart. So always remember that, okay? We always got it. And that's the village, you know? That's the village.
The old people used to say, have a heart. Mm. You know, and man, we're just grateful for people like yourself, though, Scoochie. Yeah, you know, we have to give you your accolades because it's people like you that give us a platform to showcase what we do. And, you know, thank you for that, man. You know what I mean? Because without people like yourself, you know, how is it that people would know who we are and what it is that we do? And how is it that we get an opportunity to thank the right people, our partners in the inner city? And, you know, because the village no longer exists, you know, we take on a greater role as community leaders. And if we don't have a network, like the people we work closely with and the people that help in the communities and work closely with us, you know, who are we?
We wouldn't be nobody because...
You know, it's like knowing your worth.
It's like knowing your worth. Like
yeah, you and knowing your value.
And
you know your worth, they know your value.
Yes. You know, it's that bridge, you know, that we bring to the table. You know, I want to give a shout out to Ms. Nan. You know, Ms. Nan, sorry, I couldn't come to your opening about two, three weeks ago. She's building a new community center down there in Bayentown, Ms. Nan. She's just like, you know, us, you know, struggling, but she's getting it right, and she do the same type of work in a particular...
And that's because of her love for her community.
And she just break the ground in a new community center. So a lot of us are going into community centers because we want to be able to have a place to actually train people and provide the basic needs to the resident of that community. And I want to say this to the residents of the community, you know, you can't demand nothing from places like Shaggy and myself, you know, or to Lennon Bahamas or to Pastor Ferguson. We get this thing because people go out there, they get sponsors and donation on behalf of the community. You see some people, we have to also talk about this, Shaggy, you know, because we get some stink people, you know, out there, you know, stink.
It's a nice catch, more hell.
Stink.
I cuss every day and
stink.
I just laugh it off.
And then people, they are the most worst set of people. They don't help nobody in the community and they stink. Sometimes, and they also have something bad to say about somebody. You know, so we have to talk about them too.
Yeah, sometimes you could give this neighbor something today and.
You get this one here.
You know, they have a problem with everything.
You get this one, this big pompous, and I get this one over my head. So niggly and petty.
Yep, everybody, you got those set, you know.
Why even at school?
I would avoid them, but you know what?
You pull in
their file today, so we have them set with cuss and carry on and say, I have someone tell me, I vote for you. I vote because you tell me to vote. No, I wanted the best for you, so I bought the person that I thought
fit the profile, and it worked out right.
You know, we were able to win, and I said, now that you have someone that you can go to, that's his duty. And you know what I mean? Me as a community leader, I do what I can to assist the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it overlaps, and he's a great help. You know what I mean? Minister Campbell. You know, I don't want to say he. Minister Campbell. So he had a point of finger. And you know what I mean? That house repair program has been awesome, man.
Yeah.
And for the kids, the urban renewal bond has been a big hit. Yeah.
And then, you know, we get into the partnership now. I just talked to Wilson Russell from Street Legends. He's a part of the...
I'm part of urban renewal.
Yeah. So, he just talked to me 2 days ago. He just told me the same thing he said.
And I guarantee you, Lisa Raman is going to support him 100%.
Yeah, we're going to work
with
her too.
She's that type of individual. You know, Minister Lisa Raman, let me get it right. My apologies.
And, you know, I'm going to work with her closely too because some of the homes in the community needs to be repaired. You know, there's a lot of work going on. Keaton Carey, they're doing a lot of stuff. But, you know, we could provide some employment for the guys in the neighborhood. So we're going to talk to her about that. Also, there needs to be more cleanup inside the community. We cleaned up now, but we could use more assistance. So I've talked to Juan Miller about that, continue about this cleanup program. You know,
he's been doing his thing to Minister Miller, and you know what I mean, cleaning up, you know, nationwide, and so he's been doing an amazing job himself, man.
See, we highlight the good. See, I respect that with Mr. Campbell, you know, you get in contact with him and him sending his personal ride to come and aid that young lady and the two children. See, these are things we gotta highlight, you know. And we talked about Miss Glover, you know. I ask you to find persons,
global role,
find about 50 persons disabled, and was able to assist them, them a second chance at life.
I got to say, this government has done more more fearless stuff, you know, because the thing about it is, it ain't about not hiring them. The problem is where and how do they fit, and where you're going to put them, and where do you put someone that's blind, that cannot open a door, that cannot see who's coming in, cannot answer the phone, cannot write down any information. What do you do with a person like that? You know what I mean? So they were given opportunities that no one else would give them. So things of that nature, I have to say, this government, I got to give them their kudos, man.
You're there speaking on behalf of them, you know, and you gave some prime examples of the good work they're doing. So I can't discredit it. And I'm seeing the good works with the Keaton Carey they're doing in the inner city community. Far as I say, in some of the home repairs, I saw it for example. I was on the ground.
My thing is, I say that simply because I speak from a community leader standpoint, and we live in the inner city. You know what I mean? The homes have, you know, some mothers have 5 and 6 kids, so you can imagine the amount of they produce, you know what I mean? Garbage wise and, you know, bulk waste and all of the above. So
all of it, we got to get rid of.
We got to get rid of that, because that creates another problem. That creates hazards. That creates, you know, hideaways for gang members stashing drugs and guns and all of the above. That creates homes for rodents, and, you know what I mean, that spread diseases.
And most importantly, It don't give you a sense of pride, you know.
No, because, you know, the one thing I hate to hear is, oh, that's a dirty neighborhood. But no, you know what? Not. Then you got a minister like Minister Lisa Raman once again. Sorry, I calling your name so much, madam. That demolishes homes like that and clear downs the property to give you, you know what I mean, so that you can manage the property so people don't dump on them anymore.
Well, we have about 4 or 5 houses. We got 3 base houses on the back road. So I'm going to have to talk to
Minister Raming.
Mr. Raming on that. We got about 4 houses on one corner, 3 abandoned. One on the corner is filthy with trash. But those 3 are where people go who are on drugs, hit crack cocaine, and those who steal car batteries and et cetera, they're there. Those buildings needs to be demolished. Also, there's one on the end of the corner. So, and then there's 2 more in the community that we need to eradicate, you know. And there's a lot of rot in them also. So it's a sordid community. Once these are gone, we, you know, it just be better for the community. And then probably the property owners decide. Well,
that's the circle. You know, you have your Minister Miller, you have your Minister Rami.
Yeah, that's what I'm working with.
And together. Together, they're assisting us in making the community much, much livable, you know what I mean? From a sanitary and health-wise perspective.
You know, I'm getting out my hole again, you know. I was staying a distant, but this is the time now because I'm almost finished the plan for the community. So it's time to make this connection now. So you want to push it even more further, ask to bring beautification to the community, bring empowerment.
With corporate Bahamas and
private sponsors.
Yes.
I think this is the time now, so I think this is the perfect time, especially hearing all this good works.
You know, this has PG nothing.
Minister Glover is doing, Missing Minister
Glover Roll.
Glover Roll is doing.
You know, Minister Raming, Mr. Campbell. Mr. Campbell. You know, Minister Watson. P.S. Watson.
P.S. Watson. Prime Minister Secretary.
You know, Watson and all of the others that are doing such an amazing job.
Yeah,
man.
They're there now, so we have to find ways to get something more over them.
As a community leader, it's important for me to work with the
community. How are you
going to
get the car to move? How are you going to get the house pushed on? Well, how are you going to be able to help the disabled people? Well, you can't do it yourself, but you can do it with the connection, right?
I'll tell you what.
How are you going
to... And I hate to point a finger, but I got no assistance, no help whatsoever from the previous administration. So I'm not...
Man, come on, man. That government wasn't working with nobody, man.
No, come not on, at man. All. You know, and as a community leader, they
wanted some good MPs. There were some good MPs in
they
the
had
party.
Some good people, you know what I mean? But then that's on them, you know what I mean? Yeah. My thing is, I am happy that the movement, I'm happy that the connections, I'm happy that doors are being opened. Mm. And I say that as a community leader, I'm able to help people because of my network and my connections to these people that are in power now, this exact administration.
Yeah.
Their doors are open. They listen. You know what I mean? I can't pick up the phone and always get them because they have things to do. They have a life. They have a job. They have a country to run. They have a country to rebuild. They have their ministries to run. You know what I mean? But you know what they answer?
Yeah.
I couldn't get that underneath the previous government.
So that's why I tell guys in the area, you know, we all are bosses living in the community, all right?
Indeed.
I might lead, but I don't lead where I trying to take charge. I talk to each and every one who live in the community just to see if how we could have a dialogue and understanding what it takes to build up a community. So if all of us just clean up right around our little spot in the community right now, you can imagine what we could accomplish in that community. We could say, you know, we have this whole shell. This needs some windows. This needs some doors. Okay? Some people need some garbage bins built. We're doing all that now through Lewis Street, but just taking time. You know, we're going to go down the whole Lewis Street, and we're going to build garbage bins with a roof on it so that when the garbage truck comes, it can be able to go to a nice...
Keep the garbage in one particular area then rather than spread around the yard.
Then we're also getting some bins, like with downtown Bay Street, to put on the side of the road so when cars are riding through the neighborhood or kids are walking from school or residents are walking instead of
rather
children
than
on the
dropping
ground,
it.
In and the then bin. In 2 days' time.
The bin is en route to where they're going, heading home, so...
And all the abandoned houses, we want to put windows and doors on them because when there when a rape happened through the community a few years ago on the Jack Johnson property, I got my friends from Caribbean Landscaping, Jeff Mitchell, who was a friend of the Mailis family, and he brought a tractor personally from his private company, and he drive that every weekend down from Life of Key to Lewis Street.
What?
Yep. Yes, Jeff Mitchell. You know, so I want to give thanks to him on his partnership. You know, that's when a little girl got raped, and it was his abandoned house. And if you look at the property now, we made it something useful. We made it into a garden.
The twist on it is that when we do things in the community, especially clear down properties, these owners, no good homeowners, I got to say it, most of them show up when you're cleaning out the property because now they want to know what's going on with the property.
Now being a 40, 50 years.
And they haven't seen the property and haven't been around the property. The property is a
garbage being on
the
highest roof. All hoses being there for years. Garbage inside it.
You know,
rats, rodents, sanitary, and all kind of stuff happening.
You know, and then, you know, it's being used as a drug house. And for the very same reason, you know, somebody was harmed and pulled in one of those houses and harmed. You know, you land up where... My good friend, Miss Bobby Gibson, is that's at HMP, not PMH, HMP, and that's the prison. If you keep on, if you want to continue on that roadway, you know, with the drugs and the gang life and all those different things, you know, it is what it is, and we have to do our part to just keep our community safe
and that's
livable.
What we're gonna do. Abandoned houses, we wanna to. Abandoned houses, we want to make sure write those down, do a survey. All abandoned cars, etc., yards that are filthy with trash. You know, this is what you could work with government with to reduce the rodents in your community.
Yes, and believe it or not, where you can't see them in those abandoned buildings and those homes, that's where they're able to thrive.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So when we clear those properties, they don't have no place to thrive.
That's right.
You understand? I mean, you're creating a healthy surroundings and community for your for the residents in your community.
And that's where urban renewal come in. And
indeed,
the ministry
indeed.
Of what is public works?
Public works.
Or the ministry
public works should be
with one mill is?
One mill is environment.
Environment
and health. Yeah, environmental health.
The producers say we're going to have to take a break. Okay, so don't go nowhere. We'll be right back on Inside the Inner City on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Represent the ghetto people I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bintan.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl! girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them, and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your app store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Good night. We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I have Shaggy Chipman in studios, community leader for the Centerville and East Street area. And he talk about programs and the partnership. We had many different ministers who listened to him tonight. They're doing some small but wonderful things that are actually making a great impact on the lives of Bahamians. And this is one way how we can give back on the beautification and slowly get ourselves back to the village concept where we can start, again, helping one another, you know, to reach our full potentials. You know, and this show today was really, because when I saw Shaggy, you know, with that young lady and the two children, it hurt my heart because everything I do, I fight for those type of cause, you know, because I know the suffering that has been going on for about 50 years in this country, you know, and still going on today in this country. And we dedicated ourselves to be the voice and eyes and defining means how to assist the less fortunate in this country. And Guardian Radio always told me that as part of my job as a radio host, to go then find persons who are doing great work in the country, but don't get the proper exposure. And we do that on this show, on Inside Inner City. You know, before you pass away, you're not going to talk about you when you pass away. We're going to talk about you while
you're here.
Living.
So we're going to give you your flowers now.
To let people know that there are persons out there who set aside their personal differences, who are making impact on many persons' lives in their respective community.
Indeed. Indeed. And we have... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We have to, you know, as community leaders, again, you know, we have a moral responsibility to understand our community, you know, to know the people. And remember the song, you know, as crazy as this is, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood now, who are the people in your neighborhood?
That's Mr. Tingle, what do you mean?
They're
now?
The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet each day. That was Bob the Little Muppet.
Bob the Little Muppet.
Yeah. You know, so my thing is, it's important to understand who you have in your community. It's important to understand the individuals from kids to teens, to understand the need, to understand, you know, where your strength is. And that's the reason why I spread myself the way I spread myself with different organizations out there. And based
on the pressure
need,
on you. Based smart on thing the need, to do, because you'd have been finished.
you have to, you cannot, Bill Gates and Elon Musk and these guys ain't trying to take you out of the world. You know what I mean? I had this thing in my mind where I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I used to burn myself out with the little resources that I have. So I spread myself open that I could help more people. And,
makes
and
sense.
One of the things, again, one of my weapons is my little portfolio. When I go to certain organizations, I say, this is what I do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. Now I work with 14 different organizations.
Wow.
And I'm on the executive board of every last one.
Wow.
President of the Crime Watch in the neighborhood. But that's a very touchy one.
Yeah,
but, you know.
It takes time.
Instead, I tell them, I said,
you're doing a different crime watch.
Yes. Well, I said,
helping people, and that's how you can do your crime watch.
I said,
That's what you got to be. You can't be no fool, bro.
I said, in my neighborhood, and I said this to the commissioner of police, you know, I said, in my neighborhood, it's not as easy as it is for somebody else who lives in a
upscale community.
I live amongst
different
the core
strategy
people.
Needs to be used.
So I said, instead of crime watch, I said I could use the term neighborhood watch. I'm watching over my neighborhood, building community.
Yes.
And
you did. You find a young lady with two kids. You find abandoned house. You find 50 disabled people. That is crime watch.
You know, and then I have
abandoned houses.
Myself, Crystal, a couple others, we are a network that mm-hmm. we work together. We are each other's eyes.
That's how it's supposed to be.
You know what I mean? And she said, well, you know, Shaggy, let's go see what's going on. Like, you know, let's work together. And I'm happy that, you know, she reached out to me and we were able to maneuver and assist wherever we can with the help of many others who are now coming on board to give a little hand and help you.
So she's doing better. So tell us about the progress before we close the show. Last progress report about the lady?
Oh, the progress report is she's now in the hospital. She's now recovering. You know what I mean?
Getting the proper thing to bring on the sweat.
And getting her MRIs because of the help from other people on the outside.
Awesome.
And, you know, the little girl, who's she was not in school from September. Cool. Last year, September. So now she's in school now. Crystal took care of all of the...
Then I heard you say September, you told me last year September?
Last year September, because her mother went blind about 4 or 5 months ago.
What?
So.
And people don't have no one to lean on. Listen to me, people. You see all this money leaving out the country, and you see what is left for us, and what our brothers and sisters, who we're supposed to be able to assist, and what's going on in our country. It could be any one of us. You understand? That's how serious it is. We have to put our priorities where we need to put our priorities. And
indeed,
our priorities to help one another best
indeed,
way possible.
Indeed.
You know, you can imagine that, man. September, and they're there with their mother. I mean, I can imagine.
A three-year-old trying to help his mother, and you know what I mean? I think
and he, you say,
and
you
if
say,
I'm not wrong, I think the little guy may have ADHD, you know what I mean? Which is a hyper-attention disorder.
Yeah, like because he, you can imagine that's your mom laying down there, and he trying to be a man. And boy,
and help, no, it was a sad situation, but you know, we all came together, including our amazing MP, and you know, we made it all happen, and at least get her to the hospital to get the treatment she needs for now. You know what I mean? And I pray to God that, you know, something can happen that, you know, Crystal and myself, we were able to get in some funds. Then Crystal already, she's taking care of administrative work.
That's
man. Crystal. And
God bless her.
She is now taking care of the hospital with the MRI, and we were able to get some money to get the MRI to see what was going on. And so, you know, those type of surgeries cost money, man. You know, but God is with her. She's doing better than she was when she was on the porch.
You see why free healthcare is very important. As much investment we do in this country, right? We always have to say that we're going to have citizens who have serious health issues in this country. And if you look at some of the prices that to get a surgery. So we have to say to ourselves, like how we have a sovereign wealth fund, we had a sovereign wealth fund. There's some being discussion I could get back on that in a later date. But we're going to have to say, you know, if we're going to do major investment, and if we know that we have Bahamians who will have serious operation, and they might not have insurance, so it falls on the state. You know, instead of people be begging, let me put it that, asking for money to assist a Bahamian national in the country, and they're not insured or they don't probably have the right funds, why not deduct some type of sniping from whatever investment we do and put it aside just for vehemence in need of surgery or medical, serious medical.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's one of the things. You know, a lot of my friends always say, you know, you on these crutches and you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a need for that. I can't sit down home and play dead. You know, I have to get another surgery too that would take me off these crutches, but everything in due time.
And also, I just want people to know this guy's disabled. He got a shot a few years ago, and he's disabled, and he's doing all these remarkable stuff.
Thank you.
I just want people to know that, you know.
You know, so we definitely pushing and we doing things, and, you know, we have to go through the fire to understand and, you know, come back, rise through the ashes, and come back phoenixes.
And you see now you are doing such a remarkable job on, you know, the sky's the limit for you. How long you are short ago? Short?
That was 2010.
2010. Wow, that's what?
13 years 13 ago.
13 years.
Yeah.
And you're still working on yourself. So,
of course,
instead, listen to this now, people. See, this is selflessness, what people need to understand. Before you judge people, just say, if this guy is so selfish, knowing that he got shot 13 years ago, he's disabled, and he needs to go into surgery. So why not get up all the funds, right, that he has been able to assist and start to save it up, and then use it on himself. This guy isn't even doing that. He's scrapping off his own, you know, just like how I'm trying to finish my restaurant, trying to do the work in the community off our own. You're not taking no funds that comes directly to go help any 50 disabled people or to help no one or to help somebody fix their home. No, you know, that has come directly from someone who wants to assist that person personally.
Indeed.
That money goes directly to me.
Indeed.
And that's how it's supposed to be. And that's the kind of integrity you have to have. Understand and, hey, separate yourself. Even though the need is great, he needs surgery.
You know,
you don't think he could get a surgery long time with the connection he got, but he is working on it bit by bit. But now, eventually, he's going
to
get it.
Indeed. And you know, staying close to the ground is where I love to be. And, you know, meeting the right people and building a network and having the right people by your side, you're always in a situation where you're on the winning side. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes we have to have a long-term plan to get things done. You know what I mean? Sometimes I can be frustrating. Sometimes I can be discouraging.
Yes.
But you know what? We just have, people like us just have to stay focused, stay working, stay on the ground, stay knowledgeable, stay on top of what's going on in your community. And that way you stay on top of any progress in your community.
Yeah. I wait on the producer to come back. We're completely out of time. You want to give a shout out again to the minister.
I just want to give a special shout out to Minister Pierre Roll for doing all the amazing things that you're doing. Minister Jumo Campbell, thank you for standing by Centerville through it all, through the storm, through the fire, and, you know, rising with us in the storm. Our captain, you know, thank you for being that strong, fair, and firm man that you are. Thank you for being a brother and a big man in Centerville. And Minister Ramming, you are an amazing, amazing trooper. You know, just keep pushing, keep fighting, stay tenacious, stay resilient. You know what I mean? Because you are truly that sister, and you are truly, I don't know how to say, you are your brother's keeper. All right? So continue to do well, all of you, and thank you.
I want to say to all the listeners and the callers who call in, you guys did a phenomenal job of calling in. You guys give some valid points. And I just want to encourage you that the show is dedicated to uplifting the Bahamian people, find solutions for the country's problem. And most importantly, encourage you guys out there that you don't have to sit around and just wait on government. You know, there's some things you can do in your own community that you don't have to wait on government. What it is to grab a broom, a bike. You know, there's a yard crossroad that is filthy and probably needs to clean down. You could take your time, you know, as a team and get together like the village concept. Put the grill out, you know, and say, no, it's a sore eye for me because I live across the road, you know, and it's a sore eye for me. And I want to stop people from dumping, you know. There are people who come and live in the community who would pay somebody to take a trash out their yard and go throw into an abandoned yard. So we also have to encourage one another and stop that. We have to stop these guys putting these garbage in the trolley, taking it out from one house, and throwing it down to the next yard. See, it's us being people. You trying to tell me we can't do this stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, we have, again, we have a responsibility of being the keepers in the neighborhood. Everybody, so one time ago, you know, everybody was just, you know, you couldn't do any of those things in the community. Nowadays, everybody's just so selfish and in their own corner and minding their own business in some sense of the word. You know, they don't even care about these things anymore until you realize what the government have to deal with on Howell Road dump, where the dump is getting higher and higher and the garbage is getting higher and going, you know, higher than the houses that they're being dumped on the side of. And once people see that dump is there, they think that that's an actual dump. It's okay to continue to dump there. And we need to get with it and tell people that that's, you know, that's against the law.
We all can be a part of solutions in the country. And these are the small steps that we can take to better our community for the future generation of the Cornwall and the Bahamas.
One last thing I want to mention. You know, most of the crime and all these things and all of the issues that we face in the inner city as community leaders, this is not a government problem. We tend to, everything that goes wrong, if it rains too hard, it's a government problem. We are the community and we are responsible for what happens in the community. We have to stop pointing fingers at the government.
Guy bringing a trolley down the road full of garbage. That's not the government job. Stop him. Where are you going with that?
No, you wait until the garbage truck come. Put it in garbage bags and then throw it in the garbage.
Someone come take an old car, park on the side of the road, but they want to take the engine out. No.
And then leave the car. No.
My brother, take the car, go carry it by your house, or when you take the engine out, you better have on record to move that immediately.
Exactly.
You ain't less leave the car there when you take the engine out. And don't mumble, but boy, ooh. I ain't worrying about him. When I take the right even just because he asked me, no, you think so? We get your phone number, we call the Urban Renewal Police, and we lock you up.
Exactly my point.
Yes. We want to say thank you for listening to Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio. We'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien. We had Shaggy Chipman in the studio.
Yeah.
We just got his cousin, that's the buck. I think they're in the buck.
That's Adassa Hall, Delavo. She did Over the Hill, Inner City. Yeah. And we were both featured in this book. And I just felt proud looking at myself. And then I opened the page. I was Scrooge made it too. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It was good. And I have it. I have that book like I have an award.
All right.
Sitting in my front room.
Good works get paid. You get paid for it. So we'd see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. Enjoy your night. It's Friday night. Take your time tonight and enjoy yourself. And we'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. My pleasure.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a signed blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy.